Good morning. Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. When he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. NFL running backs have pretty short careers. But these horsemen of the apocalypse have been racking up record-setting seasons ever since the fall into sin. Man, in his perverse rebellion, uses these very consequences of sin, war, economic oppression, pestilence, to attempt to establish his own way, our own little backyard fiefdom. How often have you, wanting to get your own way, ridiculed others, spouted off in anger, maybe gave a show of force, or even took revenge, all riding this red horse of war? How often have you sought to get your own way by a gift or a present, thinking that you'd have some favor or some privilege as a result of it, or thrown a tizzy fit because you didn't get your way, all riding this black horse of economic oppression? How often have you, "Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that nobody here has actually unleashed a WMD of biologic warfare." But nevertheless, how often have you, when sick, not given any thought to how you're burdening other people? Or how often haven't you spread the pestilence of misrepresenting God by your words and actions, all riding this pale horse of pestilence? Every man is tempted to rely on these horses because we want to prevent them from oppressing us in our own life. So are you in the running for setting a season record with these riders of ruin? And yet these trampling horses often lead us to cry out, "Why, God? Why?" It's a question of the ages. Even so-called Christian theologians have claimed that this is the theological crux, suggesting that either God must not have the power to prevent evil, or he must not be loving enough to prevent evil. Let's face it, when we're on the receiving end of such evil, it's an emotional issue for us. It may lead us to cry out, "Why, God? Why?" And yet in our text, Jesus is sitting on the throne. He's opening the seals that are determining what must come to pass. There's no doubt. He has the power. and the one who is sitting there, we're told, is the Lamb who was slain to redeem you and me with His own blood and make us kings and priests unto His God and Father. There is no doubt He has shown us love divine, all love excelling. The love that gave that spectacular demonstration of His love, sacrificing Himself on the cross to pay the full penalty for all of your guilt and mine. Yes, there is no reason to doubt. Jesus has both the power and the love. The conflict is not in God. It's in us. For no matter how well we understand the truth, we simply don't want to have any suffering in our life. It's like the child who may understand that his parents love him, perhaps is even doing this because of their love for him, but nevertheless doesn't want that spanking that he deserves. These riders of ruin are the Lord's curse on sin. Remember in the Garden of Eden, after the Lord promised the Savior, He also spoke a curse on the ground. It'll bring forth thorns and thistles. A man's livelihood, it'll be with sorrow. Yes, and the dust of death. And that was the start of these riders of ruin. War, economic oppression, and pestilence. And as with Eve and that fruit in the garden, Satan still wants to win us over. It's so unfair. Sin shouldn't have any consequences. You should be able to live any way you want. Well, think about it. What if God had not unleashed such horses of evil as a result and a consequence of sin? Would He not have thereby proved that Satan's lies were true? Would He not have also shown that He was unfair and unjust, failing to punish sin? Because sin then would not have had consequences. He would have been allowing man to perpetuate the illusion that man is God. He can do whatever he wants and it doesn't matter. So let us affirm God's power and His love, relying on the gospel of grace even in the midst of our suffering. Not those riders of ruin for a loss, and ride the white horse of Christ's gospel to a record-breaking, perfect season record. The perfect peace of sins forgiven. The perfect protection of His love. And the perfect goal of everlasting life with Christ in heaven. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 800, stanzas 3 and 4.